You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I'm glad you made it to church today. Today we're continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called The Miracles of Jesus. We've been journeying through the Gospels, taking a closer look at some of Jesus's miracles. And as we look at Jesus's miracles, we have a lot to learn. These aren't just acts that Jesus did, but they are revelations of who God is. And so we're getting to know our Savior better. We're getting to know who God is. And I have good news for you. Here's what we're learning. We're learning that God is for us, that God is a God of compassion who's moved by our need. God is a God who wants to move in our lives. He's a God of healing and salvation and freedom. And so we just want to keep the expectation level high. We just want to be encouraged and keep our faith up high and believe for God to move in our lives. How many of you are trusting God for maybe there's a need in your life, something you're believing God for? That's what this series is about. We're believing for God to move in our lives. We've been discussing this in our life groups during the week and praying for each other. And so, hey, let's believe for God to do some great things in our lives. This morning, we're going to just dive right into our text. It's Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark. Each of the Gospels is an account of Jesus' life. So we're going to look at Mark's account of Jesus' life. And here's the story. It's a famous story. If you've been around church any amount of time, or if you did any time in Sunday school or catechism, you've probably heard the story of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And let me just set this up for you. Jesus had been teaching and preaching, and the crowds were pressing in on him so much that he actually got in a boat and got offshore a little bit to put a little bit of a distance between him and the crowds. And he taught from the boat. And after a long day of teaching and preaching, he said to the disciples, come on, let's get in the boat, sail across the other side of the lake. And they got caught in this storm. So let's look at it. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 from the NIV. Here's what it says. It says, that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. So here's Jesus. He's teaching in the boat. And so he says, come on, let's go. He gets the disciples. They're going to go cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Verse 41 says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Well, you know, when this past fall, when I went to the Holy Land on our study tour with me and my dad and my pastor, Pastor Jeff, one of the amazing things was getting to visit the Sea of Galilee. And so I've had a firsthand experience here. And the Sea of Galilee, it's actually a lake. It's in this basin surrounded by mountains, and you can get a view of it there. And what happens is this cold air comes down through the mountain passes, and it clashes with this warm, humid air over the lake. The Sea of Galilee is really a lake. And what happens is you get these violent windstorms that can come up really fast. It's still known for that to this day. Not much has changed in a few thousand years. And there's a picture of me and my dad there at the Sea of Galilee. It was really special just to go there. And you know, we actually sailed out on the Sea of Galilee and kind of tried to picture, you know, what this experience was like. And you know, as we read this story, I guess growing up in Sunday school, we always kind of picked on the disciples. We judged them a little bit, like, you know, the disciples didn't have any faith. Here they were in the boat with Jesus, the Son of God, the God of all creation, right? And they didn't have faith to believe that Jesus could save them. That's kind of the way I remember the story being taught when I was a kid. But, you know, if you've been through a storm, if you've ever been caught in a storm at sea, you have a little more compassion. See, I have some firsthand knowledge of this experience. I would venture to say probably not most people in this room have ever been caught in a storm at sea, but I have. I grew up sailing with my dad in New Orleans on Lake Pontchartrain, which is a lake that opens up to the Gulf. It's almost like a big bay, and it's shallow. It's like the Sea of Galilee. It's very susceptible to storms. And so we grew up sailing in a 20-foot fiberglass sailboat. There's a picture of my dad's boat there. And let's just say that my dad has a little bit of a reputation of not checking the weather before he takes people out sailing. I'm just saying, we've learned this the hard way. And so we've been caught in a storm or two with my dad. In fact, my dad was caught in a storm so bad one time, my mom called the Coast Guard to get him rescued. And the Coast Guard said, lady, are you crazy? We're not going out in this weather. And so one time I remember we were like, I was like 9 years old and we were sailing. We'd had a beautiful day out on the lake. Sun was shining, perfect day, perfect sailing condition. We were heading back into the harbor from a beautiful day of sailing. And just like this storm in this story, a squall came up. All of a sudden it went from being sunshiny to dark outside. I mean, dark, like ominous clouds rolled in and thunder and rain and waves and Lake Pontchartrain's like the Sea of Galilee. It gets choppy really fast. And I was scared, man. I mean, we were blowing in toward the harbor and my dad had an outboard motor and he couldn't get it to start. There's a reason he's a sailor, by the way. He was never any good with outboard motors. He couldn't get the motor to start. And here we are, we're being blown toward the seawall. How many of you know fiberglass sailboat plus concrete seawall is not a good combination, okay? So my dad's freaking out, and he's running around tying off all the sails, and I'm just thinking my dad's going to fall overboard any moment now. We're being rocked all over the place, me and my brothers, and I'm telling you, I was scared to death. I thought I was going to meet my maker that day. And my Pentecostal training kicked in at that moment. I started praying, crying out to God. I got filled with the Spirit all over again. I was speaking in tongues. I had a Holy Ghost moment in that sailboat. I was ready to meet my maker. Like, here we go, Lord, I'm ready. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to get somebody saved, take them sailing with my dad. They will have an experience with Jesus. I'm just saying. They will get right with God. You remember that scene in Forrest Gump where Lieutenant Dan strapped himself to the mast and like made peace with God? Yeah, that was me that day. So I have a little compassion and understanding for the disciples, what they were going through that day. But today I want to talk to you about what happens when we go through storms. And it seems like God is silent. It seems like God is asleep. Like, God, where are you? And some of you are going through a storm right now. Some of you, it's a storm of financial need. There's an unexpected, financial need in your life, or maybe you lost a job. Or some of you, it's a relational storm. Maybe there's a storm in your family or in your marriage. Maybe for some of you, it's a physical storm. You got a bad report from a doctor. If you're not going through a storm right now, at some point in time, all of us are going to head into a storm. They come up out of nowhere, and none of us, we're all susceptible to this. That's just part of living in this world, in this life where things happen. And so I know we all go through these different storms in life, and there are these times where we wonder, like, God, where are you? Like, God, do you hear my prayers? Like, how many of you have discovered that God is not working on your timetable? Things don't always happen. Your prayers don't always get answered as quickly as you would like. And what do we do with that? We're in this series on miracles, right? I would love to tell you that, like, every time, the first time you pray, like, God always shows up on your time and there's a breakthrough right away. But if you've walked with the Lord long enough, if you've been in a relationship with God long enough, you've come to discover that it doesn't always work that way, does it? It doesn't always work that way. So what do we do? Can we find peace? Can we, do we have to go off the deep end and just lose it every time this happens? Or can we become people of God who learn how to trust in God and His presence and His peace even through the storms? And I believe we can. In fact, I believe that the storms of life can actually be an opportunity for us to know God in a greater and deeper way. And so that's what we want to talk about today, how we can experience peace in the midst of our storms. I want to invite you to take some notes today. We're going to journey back through this story. So you receive some note sheets when you came in, or take out the Redemption app on your phone. I want to give you three ideas about how we can experience peace in the midst of our storms. Are you ready? Here we go. Here's the first one. Number one, we find that God's position in the storm it speaks peace to us. It gives us peace. Everybody say position. God's position. Now, where was Jesus in the middle of all this? The storm breaks out. The waves are swamping the boat. The disciples are pretty sure they're going to die. They're all going to drown. And where was Jesus? Verse 38 tells us Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Okay, it's kind of a comical in some ways, as much as I can relate to the disciples and what they were going through. Here's Jesus, like, just sleeping, just, snoring away in the middle of this storm. And he was in this place, in this state of rest. And it bothered the disciples that Jesus wasn't experiencing the storm the same way they were, that he wasn't reacting the same way they were. What did they want from Jesus? Like, can you imagine if Jesus had gotten up and freaked out like them? Like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're all going to die. We're going to drown. Like, they would really be in trouble, right? If you're in the boat with the Son of God and he's reacting that way, you know you're really in trouble, right? It's like, what do they want from him? But they were rattled by the fact that Jesus was sleeping in the midst of this life-threatening situation. Can I just tell you this morning, church, that God's position in the storm is not the same as our position? God's position in the storm is not the same as us. He's above the storm. Come on, God is above the storm. He's above the clouds. He's above the rain. He's above the thunder. He's sovereign. He's God who's in control of the whole universe. In theology, we call it transcendence. God transcends above our circumstances. He's not shaken by the things that shake us. He's not rattled by the things that rattle us. It's hard to surprise an all-knowing, omniscient God. Are you with me this morning? God is above the storm. He's in control. His position is not the same as ours, and we don't want it to be. Trust me. You see, faith is the ability to tap into God's perspective, because God sees things differently than we see things. He's above the storm. Have you ever flown on a rainy day before? Any of you frequent flyers, you ever flown on a rainy day? And what happens? You start off and it's cloudy, right? And you take off and you're ascending up into the clouds and it's dark and of course it's raining. And doesn't it feel wonderful to know that the pilot is seeing the same thing as you? Clouds, you know, he can't see anything. And what happens? You keep climbing, you know, till you finally get up to a point where you break through the clouds. And then on the other side of the clouds, there was the sun the whole time, right? And you get above the storm and you have sometimes it's a beautiful perspective. Like there was the sun shining the whole time. What changed? The only thing that changed was your perspective. And it's the same way with God. God's perspective is not the same as ours. He's got a different vantage point. He's in a different position. He's got a different perspective. And faith is the ability to tap into God's perspective. Faith, so many times we talk about faith like it's this thing that we have to, you know, that we cultivate for ourselves. And don't get me wrong, there's a sense of that, of cooperating with this work of faith and it seeing it grow in our lives. But faith is really a gift from God. Faith is the ability to tap into God's perspective. The book of Hebrews talks about how it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, only seen from God's perspective. In the spirit, by faith, to be able to see things from God's perspective. It's the ability to tap into the way he sees things from the other side of the storm. And so when you're going through a storm, when you have a need, when you have a relational crisis or a financial crisis or a problem in some area of your life, a physical need, whatever, it's the ability to trust God, to know that God's got this, that he's in control, that he's sovereign, that he's not caught off guard. And it gives you peace to know that even though you feel rattled, even though you feel shaken, you serve and you trust and you believe in a God who's not shaken. So how is Jesus able to sleep in this storm? I mean, here were the wind and the waves and the disciples are freaking out and Jesus is asleep. How is that possible? Because Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus was in perfect unity with the Father. He was God in flesh and blood, you know, fully human, right? He was human enough that he was weary and tired and had to rest, but yet he was the Son of God, fully God, and walked in perfect unity with the Father. And so he had peace because he heard the voice of God. He was in perfect unity with God the Father. And so he was able to speak to the storm what was on the inside of him. He was able to speak peace and quietness and stillness to the storm because that's what was on the inside of Jesus. And so in our storms, church, we've got to learn to pray like, God, give me your perspective. God, give me your perspective. God, help me to see things through the eyes of faith. How many of you know the scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Like, God, I'm seeing my circumstances the way they look now, but God, I want to trust you. I want to see things from your perspective through the gift of faith. And so, God, I'm asking you to give me your peace because I know where you are, you're in control and you're sovereign and you're in Jesus. I know that you're in perfect rest and peace and you're in perfect unity with the Father. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to give me that same perspective in the midst of my difficulty. How would it change things for you if you really believed that God was in control? Come on, we sing about it and we talk about it and we amen the sermons and we've read the devotionals, but think about this for just a moment. How would it change things for you if you really believed what we confess that we believe, that God is sovereign, that he's really in control? Do you think it would bring peace to you? How would it change things for you if you could cultivate and learn the ability to speak peace to your own soul? I'm telling you, it would change your life. It would change your life to get a hold of this truth that God's position is different than our position. And I promise you, we want it that way. Here's the second thing we see. Number two, we're talking about how we can experience peace. Even in the midst of our trials and our storms and the difficult seasons of life, how is it possible to embrace peace? Here's the second thing. God's presence in the storm gives us peace. Somebody say presence. God's presence in the storm gives us peace. Look at this, verse 38, right? Here we go. The wind and the waves are going. The disciples are completely freaked out. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care, right? Like, we're taking on waves. We're going under. Like, we are dying here. Don't you even care if we drown?" Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus allowed the disciples to endure the storm for a while. I mean, he was there. He could have woken up at any point in time. He was fully God, and he was very aware of what was going on, and he could have calmed the storm at any moment, but he didn't. And I can just tell you that a few seconds in a storm feels like eternity. And for just a moment here, Jesus allows the disciples to experience the storm. I mean, get this. These were his disciples. These were the men who had dropped everything to follow him, you know, to be a part of his ministry. And yet it seemed like Jesus wasn't coming to their rescue, and it shook their faith. It shook their faith. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been caught in a storm, in a season of life where things were difficult, where you had some adversity, you had some really difficult circumstances, and it seemed like God was sleeping? You ever been there before? Like, you're crying out to God, and God's not answering your prayers on your timetable, and you've had this sense of like, "God, do you even hear my prayers?" Have you been there before? Anybody? You know, you're crying out to God, and sometimes we're just like the disciples, like, "God, don't you care? Like, God, don't you see what I'm going through? Like, God, don't you see the pain that I'm experiencing? God, don't you see how, like, everything could come unraveled here? Like, do you hear my prayers? Like, give me a sign that you're up there and you even care." I think we've all prayed like that before, right? We've probably all been through situations like that. And here's the thing, if we only believe that God is with us in the times of blessing, then when storms come, we're going to experience a crisis of faith. That's the problem. So many people, they only truly believe that God is with them when they're being blessed. You know, when they can look around and see the evidence of God's blessing, when they're healthy, when there's money in the bank, when everything's going well. Like, that's what it looks like. You know, that's when I really know God is with me. And if that's all, if you only have that experience, that God is with you in the times of blessing, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have a crisis of faith in a storm. If you only believe God is with you on the mountaintop and he's not with you, when you get into the valley, you're going to be in trouble, because you have to cultivate a dependence and a trust on God no matter what season of life you're in. You got to believe that he's with you. And so here's the idea: to experience God's peace in the midst of suffering, in the midst of our storms, you have to first believe that God is still with you. That's the first thing. You got to believe that he's still with you, that he's with us even in our storms. See, the problem wasn't so much that the disciples lacked the faith to believe that Jesus could actually still the storm and calm the storm. Their problem was that they doubted that Jesus even cared. Did you notice the question they asked in verse 38? "Teacher," what does it say? "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" That's the question. Don't you care? Not, "Jesus, can't you do something about this storm?" But how could you be sleeping when we're in the midst of this situation, this life-threatening situation where we are about to drown? How could you be sleeping in the midst of this? They doubted that Jesus was even with them in this crisis, even though he was there in the boat. How many of you know that sometimes a loved one's presence, a friend or family member's presence, means more to us than anything when we're going through a difficult situation? Just to have somebody with you, right? You don't even need somebody to say all the right things. Like, sometimes you just need somebody to just be with you in your moment of need. I've discovered that. You know, Amy and I, we have three boys, and all three of our boys were born via C-section. You know, we tell the boys, you were delivered through surgery. We had to operate to get you out of there. So Amy had three C-sections, and I was there all three times and held my wife's hand. Can I tell you, my wife didn't want me to say anything in the middle of that C-section. She didn't want to hear encouraging word from preacher husband. She didn't want me to say nothing, just shut up and hold my hand. She certainly didn't want me to describe what I was seeing on the other side of the curtain. Because, you know, they put this little curtain on you, right? And I'm one of those curious husbands. I was peeking over. I saw some sides of my wife I've never seen before, inside out. She didn't want me to say nothing. Shut up and hold my hand. Just be quiet. You got me into this mess. Now hold my hand. She just needed me to be there with her, right? Sometimes it's not about saying or doing anything. It's just knowing that somebody is with you. I want to tell you that Jesus never abandoned the disciples. He never jumped ship. He was with them in the boat the whole time. They were wondering if he cared. They were wondering, you know, is he going to stay asleep? Like, what's going on here? But Jesus was always with them. And he may have allowed them to go through the storm, but Jesus was always present. Let me just tell you this morning, church, Jesus, he may allow you to go through the storm for a season. I can't explain that, but here's what I want to tell you. He's always with you. Just because you went through a storm doesn't mean that God abandoned you. Come on, you got to grab a hold of that. You got to know that he's with you. And so many times we're tempted to think that God is only with me when everything is going right in my life and all of the blessings are flowing. But quite the opposite. All throughout the scripture, we see that often it's the times of adversity when God draws most near to his people. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." There's a disposition, God's disposition in the scripture. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who are in times of need, because it's in times of need that God often has our attention like never before. Sometimes when everything's going really well, we're tempted to forget about our dependence on God, aren't we? But he's close to the brokenhearted. If you're struggling today, if you're hurting today, if you're suffering, if you're going through a difficult time, don't be tempted to believe that God is distant from you. God is pulling you closer to himself. He's close to you. Faith isn't always believing for a miracle. We want to believe for God to move in our lives. That's what this series is about. But we need a message like this today to keep us balanced, because here's the reality. Faith isn't always believing for a miracle. Sometimes it's just believing that God is with you. Sometimes you gotta hang your hat on that God, you're with me. God, I can't explain everything I'm going through. God, I don't understand your timing. God, I don't know, you know, why you would allow me to go through this. We're not gonna have answers for that this side of heaven. But God, I choose to believe that you are with me. Come on, Jesus, he's Emmanuel. Remember that name? We talk about it at the Christmas time, right? That his name is Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. He's God who's with us. Here's the beautiful thing. Not only is he the God who's above the storm, he's transcended, he's not rattled by our problems and our difficulties, but he's also the Son of God who comes to us in flesh and blood. He's the God who's come and he's walked among us, right? And he's experienced everything we've experienced as human beings. He knows loss, he knows suffering, he knows death on a cross. So he's a God who can relate to us. He's the God who comes down to us and walks with us. So not only is he transcendent above, but he's the God who comes down to us with us in the midst of our time of need, in the midst of our storm. And I'm just telling you, if you will learn to cultivate a dependence on his presence and a sense of knowing that God, you're with me, even in my difficulties, it'll give you peace. It'll give you peace. You know what Paul calls that? The Apostle Paul? It's a peace that passes all understanding, transcends all understanding. What does that mean? It means peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. When everybody else around you would be freaking out, you can have the peace of God because you know that Jesus is God with us. Come on, you got to get encouraged this morning. You got to know that he's with you. Here's the third thing. We're talking about how we can find and experience peace even in the midst of our storms in life. And here's the third thing. God's purpose in the storm speaks to us. Somebody say purpose. God's position, God's presence, and God's purpose in the storm speaks to us. So look at this, verse 41, right? Jesus, they wake Jesus up. He gets up. He speaks to the storm. And he says to the disciples, he kind of scolds them for their lack of faith. And look at verse 41. Look at how they respond to this. It says they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." See, the disciples are still trying to figure out just who Jesus is up until this moment. They've been following him, right? But this was a new revelation. The disciples were amazed at one of Jesus' greatest miracles ever. How many of you know the disciples would never be the same? You experience something like that, you can never be the same. You can never see Jesus the same way ever again. Jesus took a storm and he turned it into one of the greatest faith-building experiences and opportunities that the disciples would ever experience. See, sometimes storms provide the best opportunity for God to do his work in us. We don't like storms. We'd rather it not be that way. We like the mountaintop a lot better. We like smooth sailing and sunshine and birds chirping, right? Yeah, that's how we like it. But the reality is that often the storms of life is where God can do his best work in our lives. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. I love this quote from Pastor Mark Batterson. He said, "I'm convinced that the people God uses the most are often the people who have experienced the most adversity. Adversity can produce an increased capacity to serve God. He wants to recycle your adversity and turn it into a ministry." Wow. Come on, God recycles. God recycles. Nothing is wasted with him. Nothing is wasted with him. No difficult season, no hurt, no pain, no season of loss is wasted with God, because he's the God who's able to redeem every painful situation. He didn't bring it into your life. The scripture didn't say that that day Jesus caused the storm to come into their life. I don't believe God is playing games with us, but here's what we know. God is a God of redemption. God is in the redemption business. I like that word, by the way. He's in the redemption business, right? Nothing is wasted with him. The scripture says that he's able to work all things together for our good, right? For those who are called according to his purpose. You know what that means? That means he's working in your life. He might not even change all the circumstances, but one thing is for sure, if you will cooperate with his grace, he'll change you in the midst of the process. That's what God wants to do. Can I just tell you this morning, somebody needs your story. Somebody needs your story. Some of you, you've been through some stuff. And God doesn't want it just to be wasted. Like, you didn't just go through that season for nothing. He's a redemptive God. He wants to take what you went through and bring healing and wholeness to your life and recycle it into a ministry. What does that look like? Some of you, you went through sickness. Some of you, you beat cancer. And now somebody needs your story. Like, they need to be encouraged from your story. Now you have an opportunity for ministry. Some of you, you went through a nasty, ugly divorce and God got you through it and you're still here and he brought you through it and he healed your life. Somebody needs your story, because you're gonna bump into somebody else who's going through the storm and you can encourage them. You can walk them through it. Come on, some of you have been through financial loss and you've had to trust God like never before, but he took care of you. He got you this far, and now somebody needs your story. You know, back in 2014, I often share about one of the most difficult seasons of my life was laying the foundation for this church. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And during that season, I used to find myself praying, God, get me through this one day, because I want to help other pastors. I want to help other pastors. I don't want my story to be wasted. And God would give me glimpses of that. Even when this church wasn't even off the ground yet and it looked impossible, God was giving me glimpses of helping other church planters. And do you know that's come to pass? Come on, God is faithful. Last year, I went over to Sweden and trained a bunch of church planters. If you'd have told me that was going to happen back in 2014, I'd have told you I have some land in China that I want to sell you. I'm on the phone all the time now, speaking life into some pastor who's planting a church somewhere, wondering if he can do it, wondering how he's going to make it through, how he can raise the money. And I'm speaking life into him. Why is that? Because I went through my own storm and I found the faithfulness of God, and my story wasn't wasted. It's been recycled into a ministry. And so now I can breathe life into somebody else. I take those phone calls all the time. Call me up, man. I'll encourage you. I'll speak life into you. Somebody needs your story. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the Apostle Paul puts it this way: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, God's purposes being worked out in his people often lead to suffering. God's purposes being worked out through his son Jesus led to Jesus's suffering, didn't it? He went to the cross. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. The Apostle Paul experienced this firsthand, right? He was persecuted, beaten, stoned. Eventually, he was martyred. Many of the first apostles were martyred. But the glory of God was revealed. His purposes being worked out in their lives led to their suffering. But God was revealing his glory through them. And here we are today. We have the witness of the apostles because of what they endured for us. Can I just say, the disciples came away from that storm with a greater revelation of Jesus, with a greater faith to believe in who he was and who he was calling them to be. And one of the amazing things is that early on in the church, in the life of the church, the boat, the ship, became a symbol. It became a symbol of faith for the church as it was navigating the stormy waters of persecution. This boat, this story, actually became an image that encouraged the very first church, the early Christians who were being persecuted. And in fact, decades later, by the time this gospel was written down and compiled, by the time the very first Christians were reading this gospel, they were already experiencing persecution. I mean, this is the era when Christians were being thrown to the lions in the Colosseum in Rome. They're experiencing great persecution. And they held on to the story of the ship, of the boat, with Jesus at the helm, guiding the ship. And here was a story that at one season, at one moment, it was a story that it was an experience that was so scary for the disciples, but because Jesus revealed himself, he transformed that story. And now it became an anchor. Became an anchor for the souls of so many Christians who needed encouragement. That's a picture for us today. Come on, that's a picture for us today. Doesn't matter what storms you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're facing. We're all in the boat with Jesus. And he hasn't abandoned ship. He's with you. He's with you. He's the captain of the ship. God, we choose to trust in you. God, I don't like this kind of water. God, I don't like the wind and the waves. God, I don't like what I'm going through. But God, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Jesus, you're in control. You are the captain of my ship. And my trust is in you. And so I want you to know today, church, Jesus knows about your storms. I know some of you are going through some of them right now. He knows about that storm in your family. He knows about that relational storm. He knows about that storm in your marriage. Jesus knows about that loss you experienced. He knows about that miscarriage. He knows about that broken dream. He knows about that financial loss that you experienced. And I want to tell you, he is with you. He's with you. He never abandoned ship. And we can't explain everything that happens. We can't always understand our circumstances, but I want to tell you, we have to learn that God is with us, even in our storms. And more than that, he's a God of redemption. He's a God who wants to take your storm story and recycle it, heal you, and redeem it for his purposes in your life. He can speak healing and peace to your heart, and we can find rest. Come on, there's a rest that we can find in trusting him this way. There's a peace that'll come to your soul and learning to trust God that way, learning to trust that he is in control, learning to trust that Jesus is the captain of the ship and he's with me. I'm telling you, it'll bring a peace that passes, that transcends all understanding. It'll begin to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus if we can develop this dependence upon him, even in those difficult seasons of life. Hey, I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand with me this morning? And here's the miracle that I believe God wants to do in us. We're going to believe. If you're going through some circumstances, of course, we're going to believe with you. We're going to believe for peace for your storms. We're going to speak peace to your storm. If it's healing in your body, if it's a financial need, if it's emotional, if it's whatever. But the real miracle is what God is doing in us. And we're going to trust him in the process. Are you with me? Come on, would you pray with me this morning? And especially those of you who are going through some storm in life right now, would you just lift your hands, bow your heads all over this place this morning? Maybe just to lift your hands as a sign of surrender today. God, I turn the ship over to you, God. God, it's too much for me. It's too much for me to steer through all of this, but God, I release it to you and I trust in you today. And so, Father, we thank you today that you are sovereign, that God, you're in control. God, we thank you that today you are transcendent. You're above the storm. You're above our circumstances. And we can trust in a God who's sovereign, who's unshaken, who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful. And God, today we ask you for the gift of faith that we would tap into your perspective. God, don't let us be limited to our own perspective. God, don't let us be limited to our own fears and doubts and worry and anxiety. But God, today we tap in by the Spirit into the perspective of faith today, God, to see things the way you see them. But Jesus, we thank you that you're close to us. Not only are you above the storm, but you are the Son of God who came to walk among us, and we have your Spirit today, and you're close to us. Thank you that you're close to the brokenhearted. And Father, give us faith to believe that you will reveal your purpose through all of this. And God, we thank you that you're a God of redemption. God, nothing, no season of our life is wasted, but you're able to take it and to redeem it for your purposes. Now, Father, we pray that you would speak peace to the hearts of your people today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, would you say amen?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.